Africa Business Association.
Blog Talk Radio.
Marketing and Group Investments. Tonight we're going to discontinue our business conversations and we're going to pay tribute to Muhammad Ali. So we will be right back with all of our special guests to pay tribute to Muhammad Ali. Be right back in just a few seconds after this after this message. We direct.
Of humanity.
Mark.
Welcome back to the show. This evening, we have a special guest, our host, Bilal. And Bilal will be our host, and let Bilal follow him. But before I bring on our special guest, I'd like to ask is Imam Benjamin Bilal. Imam Benjamin, are you with us? Imam Benjamin Bilal, are you? Okay, ma'am, okay. Yeah, ma'am. And Brother Bilal? And Brother Bilal will, Brother Bilal, go ahead and introduce yourself to your guest.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa Ramadan Mubarak. I'm hearing some feedback. Is that can be
somebody's ready?
That would be good.
That's where you're getting it from.
Okay, I'll try to continue on. Okay, I want to first start before announcing my guest by a reading of a ayat from the Quran that was actually in our second juz today in our reading for the month of Ramadan. And this is Surah 2, Al-Baqarah, ayat 177. Righteousness, a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, bismillahi rahman rahim. Righteousness is not whether you turn your face toward east or west, but righteousness is to believe in Allah, the last day, the angels, the books, and the prophets, to spend wealth in spite of love for it on relatives, orphans, helpless, needy travelers, those who ask for and on the redemption of captives, to establish salat, to pay zakat, to fulfill promises when made, to be steadfast in poverty, hardship, and at the time of war. Those are the ones who are truthful, and those are the ones who are the pious. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, verily Allah always speaks, has spoken the truth. Yes, thank you again, listening audience and believers. I want to let everyone know that today our show will be, the topic will be on a tribute to Muhammad Ali, his life, his legacies, and his legacy and many reflections from many of our guests. So I'm going to go through the list of guests that were invited on today, and if you're on, please announce yourself and give the greetings, and then we'll move on from there. Brother Muhammad Abdul Malik, are you there?
Yes, this is the Imam Muhammad Abdul Malik. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Sister Ophelia Khan, are you there? Okay.
Hello. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay. Sister Shukriya Nisar, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak. Brother Imam Ron Elamine.
Yes, I'm present. Assalamu alaikum to everyone. Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak. John Bilal Sr. Okay, Salim Omar. Okay, Imam Mikhail Sahir. Okay, alhamdulillah. Well, we have a great list of guests on today, and we want to get right into it because we know we don't have a lot of time, and we know that everybody is waiting patiently until the time for iftar to break our fast. So, first of all, I would like to go to Sister Shukriya Nisar because I thought about my good pioneer sister when she gave a talk about how she was asked to be a cook for Muhammad Ali, and I don't want to tell the story. We want to let her tell the story because she can tell it much better than I can. So, Sister Shakria, welcome,
yes.
And assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum, my brother. Yes, I cooked him when he fought in Maryland. They asked me, would I come and cook for him? So I went there. He used to eat out of my pot, standing over the stove, and I'd be cooking. He'd eat out of my pots and stuff. So the one thing when I go to the store, the shop was in. I bought some T-bone steaks that was already in a package. So I brought them in and started cooking. They told me, said, "No, you go back to that store and tell that Bridget and Stewart you are cooking for Muhammad Ali and to cut you some thick T-bone steaks." Okay. So I tell them that. And they, the butchers would cut me some thick T-bone steak. And that's why I cooked. Yes, they say, because that's just Muhammad Ali. You don't give him anything. So, anyway, my sister was set there. She came with me just to keep me company while I cooked. And he reached over and gave her $200. She like to fell out his chair. He said he would carry me up to his camp. He said he would like for me to come and cook at his camp, but he said some things were going on there that he wouldn't want to put me in because he knew I was a staunch believer in Islam because I might have went in Islam before he did. And he knew that I was a staunch believer in my religion, and I loved it, and he said he didn't want to carry me in that, and that's why I didn't end up being his cook. That's why I didn't get another cook, because he said he would have given me to be his cook, but he didn't want to take me in to to his camp, because he said some things were going on with him. He was going to...
Yes, ma'am, that's an amazing story, and I think the time frame for that was like around 1976 when he fought Jimmy Young at the Capitol Center.
Right. I forgot the time. I know that I did cook for him because this month is my birthday. I'm 85 years old. So you don't remember my memory.
Well, you're doing good for your young age, sister. May Allah continue to bless you and keep you healthy.
I'm being blessed. I'm the mother of nine children, and I'm the seventh child of my family, and I'm the only one living. So Allah has really blessed me, and all my sins that I grew up with, they are dead now. But I'm so glad that I was in the first co-op to learn just what.
Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah. I know that most people really appreciate that great cooking that you used to do in that kitchen. So thanks for sharing that story with us, sister. That's a very unique story, and you, only you can tell that story. So I hope it's been put in writing and it will be preserved for all times.
Thank you, my
okay.
brother.
I'm doing well.
Let me be in the one to talk, because I said I believe this is a part that this death is going to be a great blessing to us.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, my brother.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sister Shakria.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I know she said she may not be able to stay on, so we wanted to get her in first. And another guest I have invited, Imam Ron El-Amin. This is my good brother. I met in the early 1980s in California, Southern California. And it just so happened that when I left Southern California, I went over to Turkey. I was in the Air Force, and one of the first Muslims I met had a catalog book of some of the Muslims all around the world. And in that book was a picture of Malcolm El-Hajj Malik Shabazz, Imam W.D. Muhammad, at that time they had Wallace Muhammad, and Muhammad Ali, who, as we know, is known all around the world. His name was Clay. But after I left Turkey, I got stationed in Washington, and my good friend Ron went over to Saudi Arabia to study Arabic, him and his family. And he sent me back some amazing photos. And several of those photos was Muhammad Ali. And Ron can tell the story of it. But also the former imam for Masjid Muhammad, Washington, D.C., was in one of those pictures too, because Ron had the opportunity to meet Imam Sultan Muhammad, who was also the pilot for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So please welcome our guest, Imam Ron El-Amin, and he can tell us about some of his reflections on Ali and meeting him while he was in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Praise be to Allah. I had, some encounter with Muhammad Ali prior to going to Saudi Arabia, some chance to take some photographs and pictures with my children and that sort of thing. It wasn't until I did go to Saudi Arabia. I was there from 1987 up to about 1991, as Imam Bilal indicated, to study Arabic. And how that came about was through Sultan Muhammad, may God's mercy be on him. We say Rahim Allah, who passed away there in Saudi Arabia and is buried there, actually. Sultan at the time in 87 was the resident imam at your Masjid Muhammad there in Washington, D.C. And it was through his contact with the Saudi Arabian embassy, his personal contact, that the invitation was extended to him to go and study himself with his family. And that led, one thing led to another. He was later asked if he have any other associates that would also be interested in going. All expenses would be taken care of. We wouldn't have to worry about anything. And so I just sort of came in on the last tail end of it because there was an individual that couldn't make it back east. And I had some contacts in Riverside, California, who asked me would I like to go. At the time, I didn't know that Sultan Muhammad was involved in it. I didn't even know him. I knew he was a nephew of Imam W.D. Muhammad, the grandson of Imam Elijah Muhammad, but I had no idea that he was involved. I turned it down because I had my business I had to run, etc. But to make a long story short, I realized that this was a dream come true for me. I always wanted to further my understanding of the Quran and the Arabic language. So I decided to go. And it was later that I found out that Sultan was associated with it, Imam, this sort of thing. And so I knew that I had made the right decision. We were there in Saudi Arabia studying at what is called the Institute of Arabic Language that is situated in the University of Muhammad Ibn Saud University. It's a special religious school, and within it they have an institute that specializes in Arabic. So not only was this headed by Sultan, but there were four other families, making a total of five of us were there, imams from various parts of the United States, along with our families. And so by Sultan being the son of Jabir Muhammad, who's the manager of Muhammad Ali, then that's where the connection with Ali came in. So anyway, Sultan decided that he would like to bring Ali to Saudi Arabia, to the school that we were in. And, of course, no one believed him. They said, well, we'll believe it when we see it. But Ali came. And I want to share just two brief experiences with you that I think really speaks for the excellence of Muhammad Ali as well as us as a people. And and also for the human being. When Ali finally, when he came, we were ready to receive him. He came, and people were, of course, amazed. We hear about how he's loved, and how he's known all over the world, his fame and all of that. But to be there and to see that up front and close has seared in my mind a picture of how we should be and how Allah blessed this man, you know, to have an impact on people. And we have those same qualities, that same essence. As soon as he got there, Ali stood in the doorway, and there was, I'll never forget this, there was a little gentleman there. His job at the school was just to serve tea. Short Saudi gentleman, very dark skinned, dark complexion Saudi. So when Ali walked in, he stood at the door and he looked around. As if he had some kind of a tracking system. And he honed in on that little brother. And he pointed at him and he sort of, you know, gave him the finger gesture, come here.
Mm-hmm.
And the brother walked up to him. And Ali put his arms around that brother and just embraced him.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a picture of that. I snapped a picture. In fact, I have several photographs of the event and the days that we were with him. But I was just looking through that photograph today. And the look on that brother's face, who was virtually really unnoticed. He went around there unnoticed. His job was just to serve the tea.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first person. Before Ali even greeted the mudir, the manager of the school, he called that brother, and he just embraced him. And I'm telling you, the warmth and the love that exuded from that experience and taking that shot of that image, was just really a blessing. The second experience I would like to share, I asked Sultan, I said, you know, Ali is going everywhere, and they were like mauling him. I mean, we had to sneak him out the back door of places just to protect him, you know. But I requested of Sultan that he would ask, I said, look, why don't we bring Ali to the apartment complex where we live? Let's give the little people a chance to see him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, I'll ask him, Ron, and see what he says. And he said yes. He never said no to anything that he was asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the day he came, we stayed in the 5-story building. And so what I did, the car pulled up. Ali hadn't gotten out of the car yet. I went up inside our building. I went to almost every apartment in that building, knocking on the door, and I said, come outside, bring your children. I said, Muhammad Ali is outside. Come on, come on, come on. They were surprised. They were saying, Muhammad Ali? I said, yes, he's outside now. Get the kids, you know. He's Muhammad Ali, Clay. I said, yes, Clay, he's outside, right? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And so people started, you know, pouring down off the floors out into the main walkway of the complex. And, of course, the door opened. By that time, there were a lot of people out there. And Ali got out of the car, and he stood up. And he did the same thing again. I'll never forget this. There was a little Arab girl. She couldn't have been no more than maybe 3. Just a doll. She was a doll.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big, beautiful black eyes. And she was standing back on the walk towards the end of the walkway of the building with her dad. And Ali looked over the crowd and he saw her. And he made that same gesture with his finger. And she had her index finger on the bottom row of her teeth. And she was looking at Ali, right? As if to say, me? And Ali said, yeah. And he wiggled his finger, right? And she walked down that walkway to Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali bent down and picked that little sweet, innocent child up, and he just hugged her as if she was his own.
Mm-hmm.
And the look on her father's face, it just melted. I mean, it was incredible. The thing is that child knew who Muhammad Ali was. Everybody knew him. The street we lived on was a very fast street. You know, cars going by sometimes like almost 80 miles an hour. But cars stopped and people were parking. Next thing we know, we had so many people out there. I guess my point is I'd like to make before I just conclude is to see the interaction with people and the response that people had to him isn't a testament to what we have in us and how Allah blessed that man to model that. I mean, the love,
yes,
the love exuding from that, you know. And those people were, they were up for weeks, you know. I mean, it did so much for their spirit. I took many, many, many photographs. I think I only have one photograph of me and Ali, just one. I wanted everybody to have a picture of him, you know, something that they could have with him and treasure. And but before Sultan passed away, he gave me several photographs of Muhammad, rare photographs of Muhammad Ali that they had were taken on a tour that they made with Ali. They went to Afghanistan, different countries in Africa, Uganda, and other countries where people were lined up on dirt roads for miles on both sides. I mean, people, miles and miles of people were lined up on each side just to get a glimpse of Muhammad Ali. And so I just want to say that Allah has blessed us and he has blessed this community where you've had people like Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Imam W.D. Muhammad that were born, and even Minister Farrakhan, we can't leave him out.
Right.
These personalities were born out of the womb of the Nation of Islam and have been a tremendous gift and contribution to the world. And so we follow in those footsteps, and as long as we're here on this earth, we have the opportunity and we've been blessed to do the same thing in our own special ways, inshallah. We pray that Allah will bless us to be a successful community, more loving and kind to each other, and modeling that Ali gave to the world.
Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Brother Ron. I really appreciate that experience, sharing that with the world and with us. I don't know how much more time we have before a commercial break. So Brother Bynum, you can let me
know. Brother Bilal, we're going to go to a commercial break right now. But before we go to the commercial break, I want to tell you that your board is lit up. You have all kinds of guests calling, and they have questions for you. So when we come back from the commercial, you can control that as you will. We'll be right back.
Bynum & Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Bynum & Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.BynumAssociatesInsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090. Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body, without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our peppermint foot rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
Okay. I believe we're back, and here we have several open lines. Before we go to the open lines, I have some guests that I invited on, so I want to give them an opportunity to express themselves because I know once one starts talking about the great Muhammad Ali, you can talk for days. So Sister Ophelia Khan, she is the wife of Brother Imam Ali Khan, who had a business called Champ Cookies. And she's very humble, and she will share with us, if you would, share with us some of the experience. I know we're not supposed to be talking about business, but we know that Muhammad Ali was a very astute businessman as well. So, Sister Ophelia, please.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salam.
I guess I should first start telling you when Ali first met Muhammad Ali. Well, as growing up, as Muhammad Ali became more well-known, Ali followed him through his sights whenever he could get a chance. Not necessarily going to them, but if he had the opportunity, he would go wherever he was. And it was in the late 60s, early 70s, that he met Ali. At least that's when I know he met Ali, because he was instrumental in having Ali to come to Bowie State University when Ali Khan was a student there. And, of course, the young people were excited to see him. So Muhammad Ali was always a people person. And anyone who ever met him loved him. So in the meantime, as the years went through, the friendship became stronger and stronger. And it wasn't until 1988 that Ali Khan and his two partners founded a business called Champ Cookies, YES. YES stands for Youth Entrepreneurship Service. He only had about $2,000 and an oven. And like most businesses, he started the business in the basement. And Muhammad Ali loaned his name and his signature on the cook bag, and there have been different designs actually made by local brothers. John Bilal and his brother Omar designed the bag, but it was a program that was so well run and creative in that it took the inner city youth, where there were low income families and where it was basically a drug-ridden community, and hired young people from 10 through 13 initially. Then the age went up to 15. Now, the children had to learn the business from the ground up. They had to learn everything. But before they could participate in this program, we checked to make sure they had good grades. They had to bring up their report cards to us. We showed them different ways of keeping their outfits clean. They had Champ Cookie hats and Champ shirts. And their logo was, it's dough money, not dope money.
Mm-hmm.
And children could actually get out and go downtown. And one of their partners worked for the police department, so the children were always safe. They could go in any of the mayor's buildings or any buildings for the D.C. government, and they would gladly purchase cookies from them. And the bags only cost $2.50 a bag. But when people met these children, they had learned to be very polite. They knew how to count. They had to have their math together. But they were so polite and well-mannered that many people gave them donations. And I can bear witness that sometimes those children would come home, come back to the shop with $100 that they had made for themselves in just a few hours. So, of course, they all went out. They wanted to be the best seller of the cookies, and they did well. But it was not just for the money. It was a program to help the children with their self-esteem and the value of earning income through hard work and to keep them from being involved in inner city delinquency. And this program took off, and it employed about 60-some students a year. And the program changed names later on because, you know, every business goes through a growing pain. But before it was all over, these young children, entrepreneurs, they got a lot of notoriety. The New York Times, Washington Post, Scholastic Magazine, National Geographic, and Debt magazines all had done exclusive articles on the work of Camp Cookie. They were also on TV such as The Today Show, Good Morning America, City Under Siege, the Montel Williams Show, and many other local news programs. And we had, of course, some great supporters in the Washington, D.C. area. We have Calvin Rollart and his wife, Mrs. Rollart. She was a council person, I believe. They were all initial people who helped to keep this program running. They bought a van for the kids so they could take them from to and fro without them having to ride the bus. Until this day, we have children, because of this program and Muhammad Ali signing the bags and giving his okay on the cookies. By the way, right today, anybody who's ever eaten the Champ cookie said there is no cookie comparable to that cookie.
That's right.
And we still have young people who are now adults and they have children. They still call to check to see how I'm doing, although Imam Ali Khan has returned to Allah. But it's
Rahim
just a relationship with the children, and it's something they said they'd never forget. So that's just of what the Champ Cookies did. And at times, you know, people keep saying, when are you bringing it back? When are you bringing it back? But they don't realize that there's a lot of work involved in running a program. But alhamdulillah, it was a very successful program. And today we need something for our children to make their future brighter.
Yes.
And so I had to say thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, so we have a template of success from, I guess you could say, that was built off of the character and the love that Muhammad Ali put out there. But we want to keep the show going, and we have an author on the phone. He only has a few minutes, so before I bring our final guest up, I want to get a few words from the man who wrote a book called The Men Behind the Men. Are you on email, Michael?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salamu alaykum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak, Sayyid.
Good, alhamdulillah. I think you had two of us on.
Well, I want you to go, and so, you know, we will bring Muhammad Abdul Malik on after you, inshallah.
Yes, sir. So you want me to get to share some thoughts about Muhammad Ali?
Yes, because you have a whole chapter in a book on the men behind the men behind him. So
maybe you
actually interviewed him personally about it, if you can share any of those experiences.
No, I was not able to interview him personally. I was able to talk with him just briefly a couple of times, and I did put the manuscript in his hand twice, you know. So we were at an event together. I have a picture. I need to find this picture of myself, Muhammad Ali, and the Dalai Lama back maybe 10, 12 years ago when that program took place. But I do want to say that that I was able to write a piece about him, and I see Muhammad Ali as a universal champion, quintessential universal champion, in that the championships that he won within the ring are really, and they're great, and they're going to be famous for years in the annals of boxing. But his real championships are those that were outside the ring, from him accepting the sense of his religion, him changing his name, his battle in, against the where he fight for by going to the war, you know, as a conscientious objector. You know, those are the big battles, you know, that really go a long way. That speaks to his spirit of a champion, not only inside the ring, but also, more importantly, outside the ring.
Can I ask you a question? Oh, I'm sorry.
Sure.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Are you going to be attending the janazah in Kentucky?
I cannot make the janazah, but I will be there Friday for the other program, inshallah. Okay. There are quite a few of us going there. So, I will be there, yes, sir. But not for the Thursday janazah.
And if you all don't know Imam Mikhail Sahir, he lives in Indianapolis, which is only, about a few miles from Kentucky, right? Right across the border.
Yeah.
About 30,
yeah,
40 miles.
No. It's much further than that, but it's less than a two-hour drive. Maybe about an hour and 45 minutes, you know, so it's not for it, you know. But we do plan to go and to support, and hopefully we get a chance to hear words to speak to the family, if that's possible, you know, to share with them our concern for them.
Yes.
He is a champion in so many ways. And I say, lastly, you know, that spirit of a champion came through as he fought Parkinson's for 30-something years. You know, that he was he was never one to stop and to quit. He continued to travel, really the world, you know, to show that spirit of a real champion.
Absolutely.
And him lighting the torch in 96 in Atlanta for the Olympics. You know, so what we can get from him is not only his tenacity and endurance in the ring, but also his tenacity and endurance despite whatever came his way. He always would fight, and we can learn a lot from that. And as he said, that the person who inspired him the most was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that made him so
confident. Yes, sir.
Confident.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Do for
yes,
self.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
So, Brother Bynum, so that we don't cut off our last guest before we have a few minutes to go to the line, is this a good time for a commercial break?
We're going to bypass this program is so interesting, I'm going to bypass commercials tonight, Brother Lyndon Bilal. Go right ahead.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. Brother, also, we have on the line with us Imam Muhammad Abdul Malik, who is always vocal, and I'm not sure exactly what he's going to share with us, but I'm sure it's going to be some inspiration because he himself is an inspiration. So, Brother Muhammad, go ahead.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, sir. I just want to share a few things real quickly. And one of the things that, of course, I met Ali several times. Praise be to Allah. It's a blessing for me today to meet him, times that I did meet him. But one thing, knowing that Ali has passed away from us, a lot of times, you know, when someone passes, you feel a sense of sadness. But some reason, I don't feel that. I don't feel the sadness here. It just feels like it's just a great day for the believers. Because Ali, knowing him, like Brother Sahir said, the spirit that he had the spirit of Allah in him. You know, Allah put his spirit in Muhammad Ali. ever since Ali, I say the day Ali was born, I believe, but knowing his history, how he came up, how he became a fighter, and how those things took off and how he joined the Nation of Islam, came under the arm of Elijah Muhammad, you can see Allah has always been with him and put that fire in him. Because me knowing the religion, knowing Allah, and the spirit that I have, I feel Ali. I know Ali, I'm in Ali and Ali is in me. He's in me and I'm in him. We all one. Those who believe in Allah, who believe in his messenger, especially those who came through the Nation of Islam, we are all one family. So we know Ali is our big brother. And I just want to say that I met Ali the first time in Baltimore. I was young. I think I was probably about, 19 years old, 17,
it's about
18, 40
years ago.
Yeah, it's been a long time. That was my first time met him at the Baltimore Mass Yet. And then Ali came to, he had a fight in D.C. I had another chance to meet him when he was training, I think out in Maryland, one of the hotels in Maryland. I think it was the mm-hmm. Sheraton Hotel in Maryland somewhere, you know. And the last time I got a chance to be with Ali was he was here in D.C. when Layla fought at the convention center here in D.C. Benjamin Abdul Haq, Imam Sadiq Muhammad, and myself, we all went to Ali's hotel room on 16th and K Street, Northwest. We went up to his hotel room. Ali was in his bedroom cutting out some clippings of the magazine that he was looking at. And we went in there and greeted him, and we went back in the living room. He had a suite there, and we sat in there and waited on him to get ready for the fight. That's when Mike Tyson fight. That was Mike Tyson's fight, and later fought on that card. So we all met then, and we took pictures with Ali. And it's too bad I don't have those pictures, but I do have the picture of me and Ali and brother Nasir Shaheed, and brother Hudari Ali. Hudari Ali. Mm-hmm. All three of us in that picture. I still have that picture. But again, I just want to say that, like Safiya Khan said, Ali was a people's person. He was a people person. Ali was very down to earth. You know, he showed love to everybody. What I get from that, Ali was a human champion. He was a champion for all human beings, special oppressed human beings, human beings who are sick and suffering and handicapped. Ali showed love for the real downtrodden type person, you know. Ali, would always remember that brother. We would always love him, you know. And I was just listening to the spokesman for the family, for the Ali family, and they put on this janaza that they're going to have. I wish I could be in Louisville at the janaza, but I'm not going to be able to make it due to some financial things. But those brothers and sisters who can make it, I think this is going to be real awesome. This is going to be a janaza that we probably never witnessed before, because Ali, this janaza was in the making for 10 years. 10 years. Ali, he designed this janaza himself. So this is going to be great. And then this is for the Muslims and the non-Muslims, his janaza. You know, he wanted everybody to be there. Then they're going to have a memorial. So this is a great day, brothers and sisters. This is a great day. A great day.
Yes.
Ali did dawah. Dawah is the propagation of this religion, propagation of Islam. And dawah, Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings Allah be upon him, was a mercy to humanity. And Ali, he showed that mercy. He showed that he was a follower, a student, one who followed Muhammad the Prophet.
Yes, sir.
Peace and blessings be upon him. Yes. So that's all I want to say is that I thank you, Brother Bayam and Brother Bilal, and Imam Talib Sharif, for giving me the opportunity to share my thoughts and my feelings on our dear brother Muhammad Ali. Thank you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Okay, as you all know, he also visited the Pentagon. You know, someone asked me about his conscientious objection status, and Ali was just against the principle of killing for no just reason. But you could see the love that he showed to the military personnel that he met. It was as though, no, it's not about individuals, but it's about ideals that are destructive that Ali lived his life to defeat. So with that, I would like to let Brother Bilal Bynum open up the lines to, in the last few minutes that we have, to some of the callers.
Caller, you're on the line. What's your question? Hello, first, a caller? Did you push anything? We have callers. The line is open. We see you are here. We see you want to ask the question. All you have to do is ask it.
If you have any questions or comments, did Brother Imam Benjamin Bilal call in?
I don't see. If he is, he should be still on.
Okay, well, we'll continue. We have
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
This is John Bilal Sr.
Oh, okay, that's another guest. So, John, we have a few minutes left. Share with us some of the experience of you were a boxer in the Air Force at the time. And I know you're pretty much everybody in D.C. knows you, and a lot of people outside of D.C., you know, you are a very well-known father, as a no-nonsense person that likes to get things done and very sincere in the religion. And you have a very large family who all gives a lot of benefit to the community, the Muslim and the non-Muslim community. But I know that you had a friend that was actually on your boxing team, Doug Jones, that fought Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
You can get into that if you like, or you can just give us some reflections you have on the champ.
Yeah, I'm just going to point out that I was at that time I was in amateur boxing. I was trying to make the Olympics back in the for the 1960 Olympics, and mostly we had about 23 Air Force boxers that was right there at Bolin Air Force Base. So I had all the boxers right there. But Muhammad Ali, he had a lot of respect for our fighters there at Bolin, particularly Bobby Foster and Doug Jones. Both of them went on to fought him for his championship. So I got to know him through that connection there. Not that I dealt with Muhammad Ali personally, because I was in a different weight class, but he's the greatest fighter. There's no doubt about that. And I say that through the eyes that the way I was looking at it when we were training as an amateur back at that time. But just to watch Bobby Foster, Doug Jones, and those fellows back then box like they did in training, I knew there was going to be a lot of great happenings in the boxing. So then come Muhammad Ali, he showed it all. I mean, he was the greatest. Speed, he had it all there. And all the technical skills, and people questioned some of his style he had, but he knew what he was doing all the time. And he had everything under control. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Well, thank you very much. We're going to get a few last comments from our guests. We have about 5 minutes, so please take a minute to give a brief reflection on Ali. We'll call, we go in the order in which we started. So, let's see. Sister Shakria, I think she might have dropped off. So we will go to Brother Ron, if you're still on, out in Southern California.
Yes, we pray and we ask that we pray for the soul of our brother Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we always ask Allah to forgive him his sins and to give him a very high, high place in the paradise. Mm-hmm. I think what sticks in my mind and in my heart with regards to him in concluding is that he personified the love that man should have for the common essence of the human being. And we might not reach that level, then again, who knows, but we all have that same potential in us. And we pray and ask the Allah that he will heighten that in us and preserve the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad and give us our place in this world as a people and as a community. Ameen.
Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Sister Ophelia.
I have one thing to say. I think of Muhammad Ali, I think of how great a man he was. And I say to all the believers and the non-believers, the fans of his, don't cry for him, but smile for all the wonderful years he left with us and that we were able to share it with him.
Okay, well, we thank all the guests, all the listeners, and we're just going to close out with a short dua while we let the program end with the theme song. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhiratu hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar.
Amen.
Thank you very much. So you just imagine all the people, they just living life in peace. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I am not the only one. But you know, I hope someday you will join us, and the whole wide world will live in one. Baby, yes, the whole. Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people, oh, they're just sharing
all the world.
Oh, you may say that I'm a dreamer, but I know one thing, I am not the only one. Oh, don't you get me? I hope someday you will join us. Yeah, and the whole wide world will live in one. Yes, I believe the whole wide world will live in one.
That's what I want.
Oh, I don't know how that works. Go to the internet.
Okay. Good job, Karima. So next month, we're going for the money. Next month, we're going for business.
I am going to get Sister Khan to call and let her come on and talk about that cookie thing again. That's going to be going to business.
Brother Lionel.
Sending it all over. He's been crazy, ma'am. From all over the country. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Looking good. I want all of it.
Yeah, I'm telling
you.
You set up
when I
advertise.
Yeah, because when it happens, we pull all this in now. We want to do is give a convention. He's sending it. I mean, national, though, he's there.
So as
Massadeek 1, Karima.
MESSADEIQ 1.
Oh, boy.